You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Hang Out. I'm Ellie Brigida.
And I'm Lee Holmes Foster, and here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We have two new bonus Patreon episodes out this season. Last week we released our bonus episode for Cameron Post, and a few weeks before that was for Nimona. We're going to be releasing one episode every month, so if you want to hear our bonus content, you can join at bit.ly/lespatreon.
In the Greater Les universe, there is a little show called Disenchantment, which I have not actually watched yet. Have you watched it, Ellie?
I haven't either, but I will tell you, like, it's interesting because I feel like I was watching Netflix the other day and this trailer was going on and I was like, I should watch the show. And then there's all this news that it's super queer. So I'm like, oh, maybe I should watch it.
Yeah. So it's an animated show. And I guess one of the main characters, or the main character, is voiced by Abby Jacobson, Princess Bean. I think they just wrapped up it was a series finale, right?
Yeah.
So series finale. And I hear through the gay vine, I hear that Princess Bean ends on a very queer, like, gay married ending. So shout out to Disenchantment for that.
Love it. I'm trying to read a little bit more about this next tidbit because it just really, the headline really got me. The headline says, Lesbian Monkey Love Triangle teaches us about homosexuality and humans or whatever.
Okay.
But it's talking about the Darwin paradox. So the Darwin paradox is like homosexual activity occurs even though it does not lead to or aid in reproduction. And these monkeys basically are proving that being a little gay might help monkeys pass their genes on to future generations. So being like, it basically says same-sex relationships helps with bonding, right? And then it's so funny. And they're talking about these three lesbian monkeys who basically, like, are in a relationship with the three of them. It says, Bailey's a top, Haley's a power bottom, Macy is a flip. She's a flipper. She can do both. And I don't know. I need to look more into this lesbian love triangle between these monkies. But the point is,
write us a research paper.
People are researching all of the, like, lesbian activities with these animals and saying that it's super beneficial to them to be queer. So don't we know it?
This last one, I'll try to cover real quick because I haven't listened to it. Well, I've never listened to this podcast, let's be honest. I haven't listened to this episode of the podcast especially, but Raven Simone's podcast, the best podcast ever, they just had Whoopi Goldberg on as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Raven made a comment about how Whoopi Goldberg, when hosting The View, gave off such lesbian vibes. And Raven...
And Whoopi's like, I'm not gay. But Raven's like, but you gave lesbian vibes. And I'm like, Raven, girl. Classic.
I mean, listen, sometimes you just gotta call it.
Sometimes you gotta call it like you see it. Yep.
You know. I'm not gonna say I disagree with Raven. That's all.
Exactly.
I mean, you didn't hear it from me.
Whoopi, if you're giving off lesbian vibes, that's on you.
Yeah, I think she. I think Whoopi came out and clarified again that she is not a lesbian, but you know,
she just played one on TV. Yeah. She said, "Yeah, yeah." So did Raven for a while.
That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee, and welcome to our 112th installment of Should Have Been Gay.
It was fun. It was great, but it should have been a little more gay.
And in this week's episode, shiny toys. When it's over, don't you hate to have to put your toys away? Shiny toys. Go ahead, Ellie. Can you name it?
I literally have no clue what song you're singing.
I just want you to know how deep I had to go to dig up a song that was like perfect for this week. It's a Joni Mitchell song.
Yeah, sorry.
And
not,
it's called Shiny Toys. So
not
there you
in
go.
My discography in my brain. But fitting for this episode.
You're welcome. I just want you to be in hot water with all the older lesbians who are going to be like, wow,
I know, I'm
so
sorry. I'm just like, toys, 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 instead of boys, boys, boys. You know?
Also possible, but you know?
And also boys, 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 because they're gay. But, you know, here we go.
Listen, in this week's episode, many of you know we are doing our best to remain in solidarity with SAG and WGA who remain on strike. We are doing some different should have been gay topics. And so this week we are going to dive into some of our favorite classic childhood toys. And we are super excited to have a guest here with us tonight. Connor Clary is a content creator, influencer on TikTok and Instagram, best known for his ranking and review videos covering pop culture and politics. Connor, thanks for being here.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here and talk to you about all of the crazy toys throughout history.
I cannot wait. We already sort of got into it before we started recording, but I am so excited to dive into some of the gayest toys alive. I guess they're not alive, but
it's also, can I tell you what else I'm realizing is very exciting about this episode to me? Is Connor, we were just saying how like this, it's a different format for us, right? Like usually we're like, here's the movie, we're talking about the movie, here's how we talk about the movies, here's what we do, right? Like break down the movie, all the gay things about the movie. This time, I know you sent us like a couple ideas and like I have a list and I'm sure Ellie has a list, but I'm like, man, I don't even know what we're talking about. And that's like,
it's exciting
and a little terrifying, but also mostly fun because I feel like I'm just very looking forward to what on earth everyone came up with as like, what are the things that were gay when you were a kid, right? Because I'm like, it's all of them. And I'm excited to hear all of the wild things we come up with.
But also, are they gay because they're gay or because we're gay?
Nope, it's all of the above.
Yeah.
Some of them are definitely gay.
Some of them are for sure.
Yeah.
So we're not really going to do, like, we usually do an IMDb synopsis and a gay synopsis. I think we're not going to dive into that, but let's just dive into, sorry, my dog.
Rambo. Rambo's having a time of it.
Let's just jump right in because, Connor, you had some suggestions of what toys are gay. So let's start with, like, the gayest toys.
Yeah, I want to, like, round robin this. What's your
the
top?
Gayest? Yeah.
Well, I think easily the gayest toys throughout history is just the entire collection of Barbie dolls. I mean, starting off, they're all sexless, right? None of them has genitals. I don't know.
They are agender in its purest form.
I mean, at the incarnation of Barbie, she was, I think, kind of queer at that inception because Ruth Handler, the founder of Mattel, created Barbie to be kind of a counter to the narrative at that time that children's toys was telling young girls. Because at the time, the only real toys that like girls were playing with was like baby dolls or things that had themes of motherhood in them. And then Barbie came along. Well, Ruth Handler came along and she was watching her daughter playing with some paper dolls. And when they were doing that, she was like, girls need toys that aren't just babies because not all girls want to be mothers, right? And so that's really the way that it started. And so I think that really probably is part of the reason why so many gay people, especially gay men throughout history, are so enamored with Barbie dolls.
Yeah. I also just love the idea of a mom looking at her daughter playing with dolls and being like, I need something that's not just a baby. Like, my daughter needs more prominent boobs to play with, and therefore I will create a doll with boobs so wild that, like, the world has never seen its like. I love that.
I feel like also, like, as a lesbian, it's like you spent your entire life searching for, like, those boobs again. You're like,
yeah,
this is
so
it.
True. So true. I don't. We all had wildly unrealistic standards from a very young age.
Yeah, wildly unrealistic. But I also feel like it's like the, yes, gay men are obsessed with Barbies, but like also as queer women, it's like, then you could be like, I have two Barbies and like they're kissing each other and they love each other. Like, and it's a little weirder to do that with like the child's baby dolls.
Right. And I've definitely seen a few of my lesbian friends growing up making them scissor each other.
Listen, can I tell you?
Barbies
okay,
are so good at
sorry.
Scissoring.
Like, I'm going to bring my mic with me. I wore my scissoring shirt just in honor of the conversation I expected we would have today. No, but can I tell you? Even when we went to see the Barbie movie, like I've had like straight friends be like, "I can't believe none of those like no Barbies scissored in that movie," and I'm like, "I mean, it's so accurate." Like, so this is like a quintessential part of growing up, apparently, regardless of orientation. That's like a real, it's like a real thing. That's just a part of Barbies. I don't know why. They should really market more.
They
market
don't have
that more.
Scissoring Barbies. Like, they have every kind
where
of Barbie.
Is scissoring
and yeah.
Barbie?
Yeah. Can we actually talk? I know, like, We're trying not to talk about the Barbie movie, even though eventually, like, we will talk about the Barbie movie at some point on this podcast. But I would love to talk about, like, okay, Barbie herself, right? As the, there have been, like, what do you think is, like, the gayest Barbie? Because there's a million different kinds of Barbies.
Barbie or Ken?
Barbie first, but then definitely Ken, because we know there's, like, the gayest Ken in the world.
I don't know. There's not one really that speaks out to me.
Gym teacher Barbie. Come on. Oh. There's got to be something that's like lonely Catwoman Barbie. What are like the, what's out there? I'm just going to invent them and look, I assume one of these will exist, right?
The only one that yes. I'm thinking of is there's a computer engineer Barbie, but she was created and then for some reason they wrote a book about her and then she like got a virus on her computer and then needed a guy to help get rid of it, even though she was a computer engineer.
She was a computer engineer. Yeah.
Amazing. Where is like Subaru Barbie? There's a hiking Barbie somewhere and she has a beaner and that counts.
Well, they also had gender neutral dolls that they created. They don't have any muscles. They come with short hair and then additionally a longer wig. So you can, like, decide their gender.
Amazing.
I mean, that's, like, legitimately they were trying to be like, look, here's something for the queer people. Which, you know, I appreciate you, Barbie.
When did these come out? Like, last year?
Yeah, in 2019.
Amazing.
So, yes, I love that. Very recent, comparatively. And they did, like, a Love is Love photo shoot with these two gay Barbies and their little Yorkie dog.
Yes.
Thank you, Barbie. But let's talk about the Kens, because I feel like those honestly got so much gayer.
Yeah, so there's at least three of those that stand out to me. First, most obvious one is what's been dubbed Cockring Ken throughout history.
Oh my god, yes.
Wait, so why is he called Cockring Ken?
So he's called Cockring Ken because if you look at a picture of him, the first thing that jumps out to you is that he literally has a metal cock ring hanging on his neck in a necklace. And so his name is actually Earring Magic Ken, and he was created by Mattel because they wanted to kind of like up Ken's outfits. They wanted him to be more relevant. And so they were talking to girls about the kinds of things that they thought were cool, and the kinds of things that were cool when Cockring Ken came out was like erotic Madonna backup dancers and the club scene.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
And so they dress Ken, if you look at a picture, he's wearing a purple-ish leather vest. He has a mesh shirt underneath it, and then he's got one earring on in the gate ear and a cock ring hanging from his neck.
And this came, okay, so this came out in 1993, right? So this is hilarious, like the timing of this too, like early 90s. He has bleached hair too, right? He has like bleach blonde
right it's,
hair.
It's like bleached, but he looks, it's like clearly dyed too, because he's got, his tips aren't dyed.
This, I'm sorry, this Ken is like doing poppers in a club. Like this Ken is,
this Ken is rave, like raving.
Yes,
right. And so they didn't make him to be gay. They made him, but someone clearly along the line probably knew what was going on and just didn't say anything or didn't care. But they didn't intend for him, first of all, to have a cock ring, and they deny that that's what it is. But he became enormously popular among gay men, clearly, because who wouldn't want this?
What else could they have tried to pretend that it was? They're like, oh, it's just a ring. Any sort of ring.
Yeah, they just feigned ignorance. They said it was a decorative necklace that had no purpose.
Oh yeah, it's just a pendant. It's just, it's like wearing a brooch, you know? It's,
oh, I was like, but Ken doesn't have any genitalia. So I'm like, you couldn't be like, but it fits perfectly on, because he has nothing down there.
Right, so what's he even using it for? It's maybe his,
for his,
listen, yeah, for he his just friend. Likes to, he likes to dream, okay? Let a boy have a dream. That's all.
Also, I thought it was so funny when I was looking into this that this was one of the highest selling dolls, Ken dolls of all time.
Oh my god, of course.
I think it's the highest selling Ken doll ever.
Literally, listen, so funny.
This is, come on, like, what, who wouldn't want to own this? I want to buy one. I can't, like, can eBay, we? Hit me up.
Are what they like, are they ridiculously expensive? I'm actually curious if I wanted to.
There's
buy
one on eBay for $350 right now, Ellie. So
you can get one for like $200, it says.
I we'll, bet you we'll, there's a bid, we'll bidding war each other.
I
over
bet you there's a
on
huge resurgence in like, oh, desire, I'm to sure buy these earring magic Kens since the Barbie movie came out.
Wow.
Do you, okay, Connor, after, do you own any of these? Do you have an earring magic Ken?
I would love to own an earring magic Ken. I do not. I don't know where to find one. It sounds like you can get them online somewhere, but maybe that's a bucket list item for me.
I mean, there are, like, we looked, they're like $200 to like $350. So it's like worth it enough, but also maybe not worth it enough for, like, I don't know. I feel like it's a badge of honor to own an earring magic Ken.
It is. I think they would, yeah, be right? smart to re-release him. I can't imagine how much
they
money
should
they make.
That's wild. After Cochrane Ken, who would you say is your next gayest Ken?
Yeah, Cochrane Ken didn't last very long because Dan Savage wrote an article about him and that got a lot of publicity. But there's also
wait,
another
so what
doll that...
Wait, what happened? What happened with Dan Savage and... What
he wrote
a Cochrane Ken article and yeah, he ruined the whole game.
He wrote an article called Ken Comes Out.
Oh my god.
And after he released it, Mattel felt like they had to make a statement about how it wasn't a cock ring and then discontinued him.
He just loves the feeling of mesh, okay? He's not gay. Like, why would you think that?
Also so funny.
He loves pink mesh because it's manly.
Was this also prior to Alan, which I'm sure we'll talk about? Or did he already have Alan as his, like, buddy?
Yeah, so Alan already existed. Alan came out in 1964, so I think, like, 30 years before Cochrane Ken.
And they were like, Alan needs a hot party club boyfriend with a cock ring.
Right. And so we can talk about Alan too. He
yes,
actually was in the Barbie movie, not played by a gay man. Is Michael Cera gay? I don't know. But
I know. Not as far as I know.
Not openly.
I wouldn't be shocked. But so Alan was created in 1964 to be Ken's buddy. And there's really only two things that they told us about Alan, which are both on the box. First, it says he's Ken's buddy, and Ken's buddy is trademarked.
Oh
so
my god. Ken's buddy TM. In 1964, that's a bold move, Mattel, to be making a gay couple of a Barbie in the 60s.
Right, because I feel like saying that someone's your buddy is what every uncomfortable straight parent says when their kid starts dating.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's like when you especially when you trademark it. Like, I feel like when you have Ken's buddy TM, like, that's like when homophobic Midwestern parents are like, oh, and that's just Aunt Lucy's good friend that she lives with. You're like, TM. Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying here.
Yeah, it's not just Ken's buddy, it's his only buddy. And the other thing that we know is that all of his clothes fit him, or all of Ken's clothes fit him. Which is the second thing
it says share on closets.
Yeah, it's the second thing it says on this box. And when you look at the clothes that Alan is wearing, I mean, it's the 60s, but he's wearing a rainbow shirt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Ken's rainbow shirt, to be fair. So, you know.
Right. He borrowed it from his boyfriend.
Yeah. It's nice when you can share closets, as all queer people know, okay?
Yeah, the box.
We get it.
The box has Ken on it, standing behind him, like, checking out his ass, basically.
We hear you, Mattel. We read you loud and clear, okay?
Yeah, like, looking at these three-inch inseam shorts that Alan's got on.
Yeah, the short shorts and the rainbow shirt really working for Cochrane Ken, I think.
Yeah, and his shirt doesn't have buttons on it.
It's continuously open.
Yeah,
who needs buttons? We like to see a little skin, okay?
Yeah, it's like it's 2 a.m. in a gay bar and he like unbuttoned his shirt so he can kind of do a peekaboo, but not quite reveal it all.
They both have the shortest shorts on in this. And honestly, Ken's shorts blend in with the box, but almost looks like Ken's naked behind him.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Was Alan also discontinued?
No, so well,
like, how long did Alan last?
I mean, it was the 60s, like, they don't,
yeah. So, there wasn't a huge uproar, I think, when this doll came out because people, you know, the language at the time, I think, was more inconspicuous and people weren't thinking about it as much. But he didn't last very long because he wasn't very popular, but he did come back periodically throughout history. The next time that he appeared, he was married to Midge, the pregnant Barbie doll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love when they beard toys for us. It just really makes it easier.
Yeah, they were like, next time, let's make sure he has a female partner. We promise. Yeah. And he got her pregnant, right?
Yeah, sure. Look. Sure. A likely story.
Yeah, several times.
He loves having sex with women.
He got her pregnant several times, and that baby was removable. You could just open up her stomach, and it was just there, and you could take it out and put it back in.
That is so freaky. My mom was like, when we saw the movie, was like, remembered. I think she might have had a Midge because she was like, we remembered that, like, how weird it was that you could take the baby out. Like, it's like Operation plus a doll.
Plus Barbie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the later years of Midge, there wasn't. She actually got in trouble because they were releasing Midge dolls without the Alan doll present anymore. So Midge was kind of just like alone. No one really knows
single
where Alan
mother,
was.
Single and knocked up.
At the gay bar. But
for sure.
Yeah, they had to bring him back because
Alan's covered
upset.
In oil head to toe. No one knows where he is. You know, it's fine. It's fine.
So they brought Alan back because they were upset Midge was a single mom.
Yeah, people were mad that Midge didn't have a man with her and thought that she was encouraging teen pregnancy, even though she was an adult doll, and encouraging single motherhood. And so, yeah, they brought Alan back.
So they're like, please bring the twink boyfriend back into the picture. That's sure. Why not?
I get that all of these Barbies, their hair is perfectly coiffed, but like, that is a gay hairdo. Like,
oh, for
his
sure.
hair is perfect.
Yeah, he's got like an undercut going on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks perfectly gay.
I also love that he comes with the little slides, like the little sandals.
Yeah, he only comes with flip-flops. He doesn't get closed-toed shoes. He's just constantly in Palm Springs.
The Alan dolls are far more hard to find than Magic Earring Ken.
Well, hey, Ellie, there's a lot of Kens and there's only one Alan, you know? So.
Yeah, you can't even find them. Oh my God, you can't even buy an Alan doll. There's none.
Yeah, he wasn't very popular, which you know, in the movie, they definitely portrayed him as kind of like the outcast doll, which definitely represents what was going on. And people didn't really like him that much, but there's definitely, I'm glad they brought him back, because I think a lot of gay men are really kind of resonating with that depiction of the Alan Tall being kind of forgotten gay boyfriend from the 60s that no one wanted to talk about.
And yet now we're like, okay, yeah, that boy was definitely gay. Did you Connor, did you play with Barbies when you were younger?
So I had Barbie dolls around. There was tons of them in my house because I had an older sister. But I was like too scared to play with them. I actually played with baby dolls a lot because for some reason that's what I felt like was acceptable. I also played with my friend's Bratz dolls.
Mm.
I think they resonated a bit more with me. What about you all? Did you play with the Barbie dolls growing up?
I had some Barbie dolls and I had like a Barbie dream house as well. I think I've told this story on the podcast before, so Leah's heard it, but my brother took a huge shit in my Barbie dream house.
that's disgusting.
Like, it was so bad. That's like my most like vivid memory of Barbie is that. And then I feel like when I got a little bit older, my younger cousins got a Barbie Jeep and I was so jealous of them. Because that was cool. You could actually drive a Jeep. Yeah, it was like a little, like, I don't know. It was like a little kid's car, but it like had a motor and everything. Like,
yeah, totally, yeah, with like the little, yep.
Yeah.
Like a little electric motor.
It was so cool.
Not quite a Subaru, but a Jeep's approaching that territory.
Yeah. True. I'm like, oh, why did I really want that Jeep? So weird. They're like, we don't care about this car. And I'm like, I need a Jeep. Immediately.
I feel like I was pre a lot of the cool Barbie cars era. I had a whole set of like hand-me-down Barbies that my parents got from somewhere, like a family friend whose kid had like outgrown a bunch of their stuff.
And so I,
like,
you had a lot of weird
all these Barbies?
Barbie
dolls. I honestly don't remember, because as my mom will tell you for sure, like my interest in the Barbie, like the doll part themselves of this whole equation, was like minimal. What I remember super vividly from mine is that one of the things I did get was, it was like a little Barbie like Vespa scooter. So she had like a little Barbie sized scooter that she could ride on. I thought that was immensely cool. I liked putting Barbie on like a little motorcycle. I was like, hot stuff. But what I used to like to do is to like set the whole thing up. Like I used to like sort of like setting up
the scene.
Yeah, I was more into it for like the like home building side of the Barbie equation, I guess. I don't know. But I had a whole set of them.
Your Barbie had like a hammer and a measuring tape.
Yeah.
Doing home improvement.
I'm like, Barbie's hanging another shelf. That
contractor Barbie. So that's pretty good.
I do have one formative moment from Barbie now that I'm thinking about it. I remember being in my friend's garage randomly and she had a Barbie doll. And she like handed it to me and she was like, let's play with these. And I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to. And then she had a Ken doll and I immediately undressed him because I wanted to see what was underneath. And I remember like seeing that little lump and I was feeling emotions that were very confusing to me.
That sounds accurate.
And you're like, where would you even put a cock ring? I don't understand.
I thought it was gonna be something so different. God damn you, Ken, you tricked me. I love that. Did you ever have G.I. Joes? I feel like G.I. Joes was like the direct like response to people being like, Kens are too gay. And they're like,
yeah,
but look, I've made this man as manly as possible. So he's not a doll. He's a G.I.
He's in camo
Joe.
Now.
Yeah.
He's got face paint and a gun.
Yeah.
I really did not like playing with any kind of army themed doll because I was very opposed to violence. I wouldn't even let my friends play army with me with like sticks as guns because it made me sad.
That's so cute though.
It was to the point where my mom would contact my play dates before, like if it was boys, and she would be like, just so you know, Connor doesn't like to play with action figures. So if you have like other toys, he really likes stuffed animals. He'll play with Pokemons, but not army thing things because it's gonna make him sad
so much.
That's really sweet, actually.
That's like, actually no really adorable here. Listen, no, especially because it's like we have a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. And so it's like they're really kind of getting into the ages where I think you're starting to see some of the little, you know, like 5-6-year-old boy play styles that are starting to like diverge into their own sort of branch of things in some ways. And so I just I don't know why that is so insanely adorable to me to just be like, it will make him sad, and as it should, because why? Because why do we need to shoot everything? It's just not necessary.
Yeah, I was writing me like an anti-war activist at like 7 years old.
I love it.
But another,
he'll play with Pokemon, and he'll also go to a protest for peace, but he'll not.
Right, I was okay putting the Pokemon into a pen and making them battle, but not the people.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Makes sense.
That's okay.
And another interesting fact of queer Barbie history and G.I. Joe is, have you all heard of the Barbie Liberation Army?
No,
Barbie Liberation Organization. So this was a group of activists and artists who in 1993 took G.I. Joe dolls and Barbie dolls and swapped out their voice boxes. And so there was a Barbie doll called Teen Talk Barbie, and she had a bunch of phrases like, let's go to the beach, or let's go shopping, or, like, math class is tough was a controversial one.
Oh, no.
And so they took that and then swapped her voice box with G.I. Joe doll so that Barbie was being sold on the shelves with voice boxes that were like, vengeance is mine. And then G.I. Joe was talking about going to the mall.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, and they planted these dolls in stores right next to newscasters, and they were going into the stores and finding them, and so they were getting tons of airtime, even though I think they only actually managed to switch like a couple hundred dolls.
That's incredible.
There's this really hilarious video that they made to explain their point, and it was criticizing those like gendered norms that are taught to children like through children's toys and dolls, and trying to kind of shine light on how that affects children.
I
love that.
Incredible. Also, like, just like, what a Barbie has been a source of activism throughout the years, really. Truly.
Yeah.
So true.
She's really a reflection of culture. Forever, and a lot of gay culture incidentally has seeped into that, because that is the culture.
Yes.
Because we seep into everything, which
we
maybe
are everywhere.
I do have one more gay Ken doll. We don't
Oh my god, please. Okay, I'm sorry. No, I'm please. Sorry. Hit us with one more gay Ken doll.
So the last gay Ken doll wasn't explicitly gay, but he looks pretty gay. And his name was literally Sugar Daddy Ken. And he was made as part of an adult fashion collection. And so they got away with calling him Sugar Daddy Ken because that tiny, tiny dog attached to him was named Sugar. And so they said he was Sugar's daddy. And then kind of tried to fake the same ignorance as Cochrane Ken and said that it's a children's toy. Of course, we didn't mean it that way. But
you know,
look
what,
at
I,
him,
he's you wearing, know what I love? No, yeah, please describe him for the listeners.
Yeah, he's based off of, it was like Palm Springs socialites, and he was modeled off of that fashion. So he's wearing a lime green patterned jacket, a pale pink shirt underneath, white pants, and he has a really tiny dog on a pink leash and white shoes.
Oh, here's what I love about Sugar Daddy Ken. Sugar Daddy Ken looks so intensely gay, but like gay in the way that like he votes for Republicans.
Well, yeah, right? He is Sugar Daddy. He's a like super rich gay man.
Yeah. And it's like he almost looks like he's gay in the way that Disney villains are gay, right? Where he's like
he looks like he will fuck you up.
Yes.
Like, emotionally.
Yes. Like
Sugar Daddy Ken's definitely given someone hush money at some point.
Oh yeah. For sure. Yeah. NDAs all over the place. Like, yeah,
he's
that is
secret gay
Sugar Daddy Ken is a Republican elected like official, but he's, you know, on Grindr every night, right?
Yeah,
like that's
he's definitely on the Sniffies map somewhere.
Yes. Oh my god. Yeah, this outfit is giving me life.
It's something.
This is an expensive Ken doll. Even when it was out originally, it was $82.
Yeah, wow. He wasn't really for children. He was a designer, like fashion doll. But still,
he is
wild.
The little dog also. It's like a little terrier.
Yeah, like a little like Yorkie or something. Like a little. But he's tiny not one.
Is it a Bichon Frise?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
like so bad at tiny dogs.
The most gay of all dogs. And he's gray. Like he has gray hair.
It's a Highland Terrier named Sugar.
A Highland Terrier.
Named Sugar. On a pink leash. On a pink leather leash. Okay.
Also, they will not try to... Like, I feel like Mattel are sneaky bitches. Like, in general. Like, it is such bullshit to say, oh, he's Sugar's daddy as a reference to the dog. Like, get out of here. Like, you don't know what the name Sugar Daddy means. Like, no one anywhere on your line was like, hey, why would you even think that? Get your mind out of the gutter. Like, that's like, they're gaslighting the entire unit, like the entire population.
I don't know where I found this in the Google image search results, but it's a picture of Sugar Daddy Ken, and then it has this little text on top of it where it just says, this outfit doesn't say Sugar Daddy as much as it does, I'm going out to enjoy a glass of Chardonnay with my partner, Simon. And it's just, it's so real.
It's so true. God. It's so true. Yes.
So he was actually based on a real man.
An audio media. We're gonna have to post a lot of pictures, so everyone just make sure you're paying attention to social media this week.
Just
because,
be googling as we're going. It's
because
gonna be
easier. this is incredible.
Yeah, like, it's a reference to Slim Aaron's photo called Palm Springs Party, and there's a man who is dressed exactly like Sugar Daddy Ken talking to some women.
Talking to,
I will
sugar
say,
babies.
When I see the real human, he looks less gay. But also, I don't know if that's possible with this outfit.
He looks less gay, but also maybe in the way that it's like he just covers up being gay by like hitting on his
secretary. By being
by being wildly misogynistic, right?
I think that's definitely the correct read.
Yeah.
Oh Lord. Yeah. I mean, clearly there's a lot of gay Barbies and Kens.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I'm happy to transition us away now only because Sugar Daddy Ken is giving me the ick. Is that is that fair?
We don't have to think about Sugar Daddy Ken anymore.
Ever again. Yes. Please. But yes, let's talk more gay toys.
What was your top choice, Ellie, for your gayest
childhood
toy?
You know what's funny is Connor already mentioned them, but the Bratz dolls. Bratz dolls were so, like, they're so campy. So I feel like for me, it's like camp equals queer. And like they just like look like, actually, you know what? Like, they're not necessarily gay, but they're the straight girls you would find in a gay bar. That's who I think all the Bratz girls are. You know what I mean? Like all their best. Yeah.
It's the girl that's in the corner asking me how to get her boyfriend to do anal.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
10,000%. Like, they love being around gay culture. Like, they just like suck it up, but they're like, they would never touch a woman. Or like only when they're drunk. That's the Bratz dolls to me.
She'll kiss a girl only in front of her boyfriend.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like, for sure. Or like, I don't know, they're like so high femme, they almost are drag queens. You know what I mean?
Did you have Bratz dolls as a kid, Ellie?
No, they honestly freak me out. They like weirded me
They're
out.
They're a lot. So like, They're a lot.
I was like, I don't think I can get these dolls. But like, I'm looking at them now. I'm like, that is a drag troupe. Like, that is a bunch of drag queens just like chilling.
There's something that I always found, because maybe I was just a little too old in the Bratz doll era of time. I feel like there was always something very funny to me about Bratz dolls, where it was like, you know, I feel like, okay, coming on the heels of our discussion of Barbie, I just felt like there was always something very funny to me about taking dolls and being like, I feel like we need dolls that are like sexy but also children and who look like they're going to make your boyfriend cheat on you with them. Like, it was just such a weird vibe to give dolls. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're like, they're the antithesis to Barbie's no genitalia.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, I feel like they were big in like the early aughts, like maybe late 90s. But mostly like early aughts.
That would make so much sense, because like the pop girls and the culture at that time was so different, I think, from what Barbie was doing, because Barbie feels very suburban. And I think Bratz dolls were kind of filling in a lot of demographics that Barbie was ignoring at that time.
I think they were heavily influenced by, I mean, like, think about the era, right? You have like Britney Spears, Toxic, and X-Tina are like the big things, right? And it's like, I feel like that's the vibe they might have been going for. But yeah. I feel like instead they were like, it sort of landed in more of a place of like, her boyfriend wears a do-rag and like is white.
Like, yeah, like they're trying to be diverse.
Sells
but
meth,
they,
you
but,
know? Like,
yeah,
I don't,
but they,
I don't know.
They definitely like played into some like rough stereotype.
It
it's
was
like white
there,
girls
yeah.
with dreads.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It's very that.
Oh, God. Yeah. They came out in 2001. That's the first time they came out.
Yeah, see, that feels right, because that's, I feel like I was well beyond the sort of like toys stage when I remember them sort of being everywhere, and I didn't get it. So so you're saying they're gay in like a problematic straight way?
Yes.
Is the argument here.
I think they're okay. Like, I think they were trying to like make them sort of queer.
Yeah.
But in a like subversive kind of way. But then it was like, no, this is not, like, it's appropriation. That's how I
feel
about the Bratz dolls.
I'm looking at one right now that's got like, she's got like a lesbian pride flag colored kind of like hat on, but it's also in this very like Harajuku style, not in like the real, but in the like Gwen Stefani problematically. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
They're like cheetah girls, but not.
The vibes are
but
off.
Not. Except I can vibe with cheetah girls.
I always felt really comforted, I think, by Bratz dolls, because they have the vibe of that girl at school that was like, yeah, he's a queer, but I'll fuck you up if you mess with him.
Yes. I mean, they are definitely, I'm like, they're definitely like hags. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
They are for sure.
Yes.
That's it. Like,
also, this is the worst. We will post this photo like on our socials. I found one that I have to drop in the chat right now, because I found one with a little dyke Bratz, and I just need us all to enjoy her together. So she's on the right, and I'm gonna maybe paint us a word picture.
Wait,
right
I cannot.
Now.
Ever. This is so funny.
So she's got like boot cut pant jeans, just jeans. Like, here's the thing. Every Bratz doll is in the like wildest, like just like
super high,
sluttiest,
femme,
trashiest,
kind of, yeah.
High femme outfit. She is in just jeans, just regular denim jeans. She's in a white button down shirt with a maroon vest over the top of it. Like, so the bottom of the shirt's like poking
shoes.
Out. Under the vest, comfy shoes, a beanie.
I'm
into
gay.
It.
That is a,
if I had bought a Bratz doll, I would have bought
that's
that
one.
Bratz doll.
That's
yeah,
the
that Brad. That would have been the one.
That is the Brad for you. Lee, what about you? What was your, like, when you're like sitting down with the gay toys, what really stuck out for you?
Okay, this might be a little, I feel like when we sat down and said, let's do gay childhood toys, the first thing that came to my mind might be like slightly a little too old school, but it's what I thought of. Okay. The first thing I thought of is, you know, before Gritty, some of us had another icon who went by the little name of Pogman or Poglodyte, depending on your era. Do either of you have the Pog era?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Okay, you got to look Pogs? Up. Okay, do you remember? Do you know what Pogs are? Does anyone know what Pogs are?
Pog, like P-O-G?
Yeah.
Isn't that like a Twitch streamer thing?
No.
Where like something happens.
It might be now. It might be now.
Like when something good happens, they're like, oh, Pog.
Okay, what it was back in like the 90s. Was they were like the bottle caps, right? They were just sort of, it was a little flat cardboard circle with pictures on it. And the game, you'd take them and you'd flip them over, and then you had these things called slammers that were a slightly larger plastic circle, and you'd slam the slammers down on top of the pogs, and the point was to get the pogs to flip over, and if they flipped face up, then like you got to keep those pogs. And so it was like a collectibles thing, right? So you could like play for them. So you'd like play like to win each other's pogs and stuff, okay? And it spawned like a wave, years of pogs, where you'd have like every different brand would come out with their own pogs. But there was an official, like the World Pog Federation, an official brand of pogs, and their mascot was a little orange fuzzy man, fuzzy caveman thing named Pogman. And if you look up Pogman, what I'm gonna say is Pogman to me is like non-binary icon, gender fluid icon, Poglodyte. Because Pogman was one of those things where it was like the official Pog line of Pogs would always be Pogman, and it would be Pogman in a variety of situations. So you'd have like Pogman playing football, Pogman in a kayak, Pogman dressed as a vampire, Pogman like doing all sorts of things. But Pogman was not beholden to gender norms. Pogman was not limited. Right? Pogman would be in a tutu doing ballet. Pogman would be putting makeup on. Pogman was in a little homemaker's outfit cooking, like, baking cake. I don't know what. But Pogman did it all, okay? And so I feel like, you know, when you look back, he kind of had, like, Bugs Bunny vibes, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at...
He has some really gnarly feet.
Yes, yeah. Scary looking feet.
I'm looking at him right now. I mean, I do think the gender bending aspects is valid.
His gender was 50% teeth and 40% feet, and the rest was questionable.
Was,
you know,
just
like just a question mark. Open question, Pogman. But he's got, you know what, that's why I think like when I see Gritty now, this is who Gritty's always reminded me of, is like the Pog guy. I can't believe neither of you ever played Pogs. This is really sad to me.
You're really dating yourself.
You could buy a machine that would let you make your own Pogs. So you could like, you could
the
take, you know how you can get like a button maker?
The more you say
it was
the
that
word
before
pog,
Pogs.
It sounds like not a real word at all.
It wasn't. It's not a real word.
If
well,
you
and
told
you know what
me
the weirdest
this
thing
entire
is, too?
Thing up and it never happened, I believe
I fever dreamed Pogs. Listen, every gay born in the 80s is going to back me up on this, and they're going to be like, Pogs was huge. You don't understand. It was enormous. The thing that's funny is it is a made-up word, and it's a made-up word because Pogs started as actual bottle caps, and they were bottle caps for a Hawaiian drink brand that was like passion fruit orange and guava, and that's where the name Pog comes from. And then it somehow spawned this insane, and like when you think about it, honestly, the game was like wild. Like I can't believe we all spent our time and all we were doing is throwing a tiny little plastic circle onto a whole bunch of other little cardboard circles, and like for hours. And you had your technique. Some slammers you'd throw flat, and like some you'd throw sideways to like flip the most pogs over. Listen, we didn't have all the cool shit we have now, okay?
Yeah, I was like, so I'm so sorry, Lee.
We had little cardboard circles. Leave us alone.
I'm sure it was a blast.
The main thing I think of when I look at Pogman, his nose looks like the eggplant emoji. It's just big and purple in that way.
Yes, it is. It is large and purple. And you know, anyways, he just read very gay to me. That's all.
He's definitely like kind of giving bear.
Yeah.
He's for sure bear energy. He's for sure. he reminds me too of like the same way that we talk about like Babadook, like how like we're just like, yeah, these weird creatures, they're queer. That's it. Like,
yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? Like
we claim exactly. them. We claim them.
But listen, this is, I'm looking at one. It's a cover of a book. It's a sticker storybook put out by the Pog brand. It's called Pog Man in Pink. He is in a tutu and ballet shoes in a little ballet pose. He's got a rose in his teeth.
Good for
and
you, Pog
his Man. Tutu. His tutu has two. He has like a Madonna bra on the front. Like he has boobs on the front, but they're not like real boobs. They're like metallic. They kind of look like in like a Katy Perry music video kind of style. Like
also,
boobs
can you
on
imagine
the front.
If so we just, you know, if we just lived in a simpler time where like this Pog Man could have boobs and a tutu and nobody gave a shit
and no one cared,
right? How great would that be? Right?
All
they're
I'm
like,
saying
yes,
is, listen,
of course, Pog Man's in a tutu and we don't care.
In 1993, no one was going around being like, "Moo, Pog Man's so woke, he's going to indoctrinate our kids." Like, no one was doing that then. Okay, simpler times.
Simpler times when a Pog Man could just be a Pog Man.
He could just do it all. You know,
he could do it all.
what is gender? Who knows?
Pogman doesn't know.
Pogman's never heard of it.
Mm-mm. Were there any other? Because I know, Connor, you had sent a pretty like extensive list of a few other toys that you found pretty gay. What were the other ones?
Kind of in the vein of Pogman and weird creatures, the troll dolls.
Yes.
Oh, who were for some reason just perpetually naked and had these like crazy hairdos that were about the size of their body.
Oh, I did love a good troll doll. And when you think about it too, like they're basically the rainbow flag. Like
yes.
Troll dolls are rainbow, like their hair is rainbow. And yes, why were they always naked?
They were always naked, which is especially weird when you think about the fact that like I vividly remember I had a number of troll doll pencil toppers. So they were naked, but they just the bottom of them was a giant hole. Was just a hole and you yep. would
stick a pencil in. Yeah,
that
yeah,
hole
that
with
right.
your pencil. Yep. And that was a thing that we gave children.
I had one of those too, and I definitely did not think about the implications.
But you're thinking about them now. See,
now we are.
If I saw that now, for sure, I would be thinking different thoughts. But
it's a little sus. That's all I'm saying. A little weird. They've got some body jewelry. Like their belly buttons are frequently jewels, right? Like I don't know, man. They've got gay vibes. Troll dolls.
Troll dolls for sure.
It's also just like the dolls themselves are like vaguely terrifying in again a way that I think lends itself to queer interests. I don't know why we love a monster. Like their eyes are scary, but they also give you vibes of like I feel like if trolls were real, like can't you picture trolls just sort of like beaming themselves onto Earth and being like, why not just love everybody? Like it feels like that would be their energy, you know? Like
they're very pansexual, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're really non-gendered. I mean, when you look at them, you can't tell. I mean, the only difference between them is like the color of their hair mostly. So it's I think they might exist in a genderless world here.
Yes. trolls would come to Earth and be like, only you humans have gender. Trolls, we have no such thing. Yeah.
How do we think they reproduce? Is it like
the
asexual
hair.
Reproduction?
It's the
like a
the pencil, yeah, that's actually why they have to make the pencil toppers.
They spread, and then when another troll doll gets put on, it's like pollination.
Yes. Yeah, it's exactly like that. It's like the birds and the bees and the trolls and the pencils. That's how I'm going to teach it to my children, you know, when they get a little older.
That sounds so right. But if we're thinking of trolls, like you said, Lee, of like trolls came from like another planet or something. Then maybe they have some sort of like printing device where they just
they're gems. They bloop. Like touch gems and it just sort of creates a power, like a force field energy ball where a new troll appears. Yeah.
I feel like they're all just pure energy. They're pure vibes, you know?
They're energy and love. Silly humans with your gender. We understand not your labels. Yeah.
Oh, now I feel bad that you said they were creepy. They're so sweet.
they are, but like their eyes are a little off also. Like, that's not just me.
Oh, no. I mean, also speaking of eyes, I know that we also had talked about Furbies.
Oh, God.
What are your thoughts on Furby?
I think Furbies feel gay in the same way as like any monster creature does. I mean,
there also are like a lot of rainbow Furbies if you look them up.
Yeah, are Furbies the ones that you would like talk into? Would they like, did they record stuff or did they talk? Did you like talk to them? What was the deal with Furbies?
Yeah, they talk to you. They look like the gremlins from the movie.
Here's the other thing then that I would say would make Furbies gay in my mind is I feel like any doll that you talked to, I feel like a lot of Furbies were like the first person that someone came out to when they were a kid, you know? Like, can't you just picture like some little gay kid somewhere and they're like, Furby, don't tell my parents, Furby.
Furby's just like screaming.
Yeah. But I'm having these feelings and I can't make them go away. And Furby's like nodding its little eyes being like, uh-huh, you're gay.
Well, the whole like point of Furby, like when you get them, they only know Furbish, like they don't know English. So they just speak random words.
And then they start place to come out.
Then they start to learn English. That's sort of crazy.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Right?
I didn't know these were so involved.
They're like the original AI.
They're the original Ashley too.
Yeah.
Somewhere there's the giant leader of the Furbies and it's answering all of our questions. Oh my God.
But like imagine that gay kid's like teaching Furby all the gay like gay lingo. And then like Furby accidentally outs them because like the parents are like, wait, why do you know this?
This little boy comes out to his Furby and the Furby's like, tell your mom to buy an earring magic Ken. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is your Furby singing Britney Spears all of a sudden?
Exactly. Did you ever see the Black Mirror episode with Ashley 2?
No.
With Miley Cyrus?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's so good. But she basically, Miley's consciousness is like in this.
Furby?
It's not a Furby, but it's like basically like that. It's like a talking Ashley too, which is her like pop persona. It's freaky.
I feel like talking toys were never my jam. It's a recipe for nightmares.
But Furby's the only one who understands me.
That's true.
Yeah, Furby's I feel like the safe. Appeal of toys was like the lack of that, because you could kind of like project onto them and imagine what they would say, but you're like really talking to yourself. So when they actually talked to me, I was just kind of like scared of
it. Yeah. It's a little much.
Autonomous.
Okay, I'm saying that, and yet I do have one toy that did talk to me that is also on my list that, again, just felt gay vibes to me for some reason, and that was Bop It.
Bop It's so gay.
Gay to anyone else.
Bop It.
Like,
just teaching people
just the
how to
voice.
Get hand jobs.
Well, yeah, a little bit of that, right? Like, the whole premise
really
of the
aggressive
toy.
Hand jobs.
Was a little sus, but also just like the voice in general, like, I don't know, it's just like a little gay. Bop It, twist it. It's a whole lot. It was a whole lot
pull
going
it.
On.
Yes, pull it.
Pass it. Okay.
It is just like a circle jerk, though. You're like, all right, yes. Next.
Bop It is just a pass around party bottom.
Yes. Well, and because also the music, right? Like, did you, does anyone remember like, the Bop It music?
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah, the Bop It.
Like, it was a whole amazing. Thing. It was amazing.
I love Bop It.
I feel like
I
that's the only
right
speaking
now.
Toy I'm gonna give a pass on my list to, Bop It.
That is so true. I feel like I would love to play with a Bop It right now. Like, that brings me back. By myself. I'm like, pass it to myself.
To myself. Yeah.
I was thinking of Bop It too.
It's gay vibes. I don't know why. Like, again, so, this is the thing. It's like
it's
we sat down with this assignment.
Dance. Coordinated dance.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? That's it.
Early flash mob vibes, Bop It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you all ever play The Game of Life?
Yes.
At what point did you start switching the gender, or if ever, of your little pieces? Because I was putting boys in there before I realized I wasn't supposed to.
When did you, like, it was, you were really young when you were putting the boys together?
I was like, I would play with my friend and I was putting the boys in there and I just didn't question it and she didn't question it. And then, like, I remember, like, one day I was like, wait, I'm not supposed to put the boys. And I, like, put a girl in there and I was like, this feels weird.
And then did it feel weird? Yeah. See, that's the thing, is it's like, again, I feel like I don't know that I ever played life and put, like, two pink little things in the front of the car. But I feel like it's the kind of stuff that you look back on after you come out and you're like, oh, that's why, like, every time you'd, like, put that little blue thing in the front of the car. And I was just like, why?
Yeah, why? I feel like I didn't really start putting the two pink ones together until, like, close to after I came out. For me, it was The Sims. I would always make my characters gay. Like,
that is
always.
That feels so right for you, Ellie.
Because I was just like, let me just test this out. Like, that's for crazy no reason that they let you do this, right? Like, whoa.
You're like, I just want to double check that this actually, like, is a possibility in the game. Feels like it should be illegal. Anyone else? Just me?
Yeah.
You're like making them woohoo over and over.
Yes. I think you could. I can't remember, but I feel like sometimes you could have a baby with another girl. I forget. I think you could. Like, Sims was very sexually progressive. I was definitely making, I think my characters were bisexual. Like, I would just, like, whoever wants to hook up with me, it's fine.
When we talked about, we just did an episode, Connor, we did a Should Have Been Gay on the group tattoo, like the Russian singing group tattoo. I feel like if we talk about, like, what tattoo was for me in my coming out journey, Ellie, it sounds like that was
Sims.
The Sims,
yeah,
for
Sims
you.
Sims was for me. Like, I was like, wow, this is so crazy, right?
Yeah.
I definitely did that. And I remember I would, like, try to kind of, like, hide it from my parents. Because I think I had two games. I had one where
one
was, like,
straight
boy,
and
where
one.
I was, like, experimenting. And then the other one, I was like, oh, this is how you're supposed to play the game.
Yes. You're like, one of them was, like, your closet. And the other one was like, just don't let my... Yeah.
Yeah, my Sim had, like, a secret double life where he had a wife and children.
Oh, yes, like a gay lover.
Secret gay lover,
side.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they get pissed off and they fight each other and you're like, oh my god, this is so crazy. Wow.
Amazing.
What a time. This has been a blast just diving into craziness with all these toys and games. Any other gay toys we want to give honorable mentions to before we...
I have one because it's a quick honorable mention, but again, just in terms of toys that gave me gay vibes. And I might be slightly dating myself a little bit again here, but listen, I was in middle school in a very particular era of time, and I just want to say, looking back on my youth, slap bracelets just feel kind of queer to me, right? Like, I just feel like toys that were a little bit jewelry, but also that, like, boys were very into because they could, like, hit each other really hard with them.
A little too hard.
Like, just in ways, like, listen, if we're gonna talk about cock ring Ken, I just feel like slap bracelets feel like they have a certain role that, like, maybe could have been examined more, is all, you know?
I was of the silly bands era. Where we were, like, trading them in the bathroom with each other. Secretly.
Secretly.
Well, they were banned from my school because the trading was causing so many problems, and so we would have to, like, carry them around as a secret, and then we'd be like, do you want to meet at the bathroom in, like, 2 o'clock, and I'll trade you the sun for the unicorn, because they were so in demand, like, you couldn't get certain packs, and so, like, if you had the fantasy pack, everyone wanted to be your friend
in the bathroom specifically. Classic.
Yeah, we would make like dates for, like, the black market of silly bands.
My era, slap bracelets got banned when I was in middle school. Like, you couldn't bring slap bracelets in anymore. Because we had them when they were, like, they were just a piece of metal with, like, fabric around it. And they're, like, they frequently just
hurt,
like,
people,
slice you open. Like, they were a lot of incidents with slap bracelets. And they did not always go well, you know? So, that's all.
I don't remember what mine, I mean, we did, like, when I was younger, it was, like, the Pokemon cards. But they never got banned. But I'd play a lot of Pokemon. I had a huge binder of my Pokemon cards.
Did anything get banned? Because I feel like when I was in middle school, slap bracelets got banned. And then like the next year, yo-yos. There was a big yo-yo craze and those got banned. Because, I mean, as you can imagine, kids just like whipping around hunks of metal just didn't super go well.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to think of. Like, I don't know if anything got specifically banned. I had a pretty like strict high school in general, though. So I feel like just like nobody had toys. And I started my quote unquote high school in seventh grade.
Hmm.
Like it was seventh to 12th grade.
Oh, I was thinking like, elementary.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't remember. Because Lee was saying middle school. So to me, that was like.
We were doing black market trades in like fourth grade with these silly bands.
We were just trading pogs, okay? Pogs.
That totally exist.
I bet I still have them somewhere. I'm gonna dig up my pogs.
Find them.
I had a whole collection, listen.
All right. Here we go. We're gonna go into our Q and Gay. Let's do it.
Q and Gay.
All right. Question number one. What doll did you have? A, Barbie, B, Bratz, C, American Girl, or D, Cabbage Patch?
I was most inclined to play with the Bratz dolls.
That feels fair.
Your friend at the gay bar.
Yeah, Barbie felt off limits. Bratz felt they looked like drag queens. I think that's why I liked them.
Yeah.
I can kind of pretend.
Sounds right.
Okay, question two. When you played Life, who did you put in the front seat? A, Blue and Pink, B, Pink and Pink, C, Blue and Blue, or D, Solo?
It was Blue and Blue until I realized it wasn't supposed to be Blue and Blue. And then I did Blue and Pink. And then later in life, I went back to Blue and Blue.
Until society got to you.
I'm glad you're back to Blue and Blue.
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking about going back. That might be fun for me.
Blue and Pink. We'll see. All right. Question number three. Who is your non-binary toy icon? A, Pogman, B, Troll Dolls, or C, Furby?
I was obsessed with the Troll Dolls. It lived in that little compartment in my desk in elementary school, and its butt was just hanging out.
They did have little butts.
They had cute butts.
They had silly little butts.
We didn't
butts,
even talk about how gay their butts are. Yeah.
They had nice little butts, so they wanted everyone really to nice see butt. Them.
Yeah.
That's so true. They did, because didn't they, so when you got the bigger ones too, like if you got them outfits, like didn't a lot of their outfits kind of have like the pant, like the back that would like fold
open
down
up so you could
see
their butt,
the little butt.
They were in jock straps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Assless chaps.
Assless chaps, troll dolls. Anyways, so question four. Question four, which Barbie is the gayest out of A, Cochrane Ken, B, Ken's buddy Alan, or C, Sugar Daddy Ken?
I think they're all gay in their own special ways, and they speak to very special parts of the community.
Great question. Great answer. All right. Question number five, our final question. What was the gayest toy? A, Barbie, B, Bop-It, C, Trolls, or D, Slap Bracelets?
I have to go with Barbie, specifically the Ken dolls.
Those Ken dolls are so gay. So gay. Well, Connor, thank you so much for hanging out with us and devolving into madness talking about these gay toys.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Let our listeners know, where can they find you on all the various things?
Yeah, you can find me at connor.clary on TikTok and Instagram. And that's about it.
Amazing. Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. And we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we have to shout out because we are recording this a little in advance. But many of you know, as this episode comes out, Ellie and I are currently in Croatia
on a Croatian gaycation,
which we will shout out Durr for coming up with that name, But we just want to shout out everybody who is in Croatia with us, having the best time. We are so excited right now as of recording this for this trip. And when we talk about building community, I just think the trip that we are about to go on is the type of community building that I don't think either of us could have dreamed up when we started this little mm-hmm. podcast so many years ago, is going to do like a gay vacation with a whole bunch of queer people for a whole week. We're very excited. So shout out to that. And shout out to, if you are wishing that you had been able to come on our Croatia trip, shout out to, we have another trip that we will be planning and releasing details about soon, to go to Costa Rica in May of 2024. So keep an eye peeled for that, because we are going to keep building community.
Let's
keep going.
Costa Rica is going to be so nice. Hot springs. We're going to be relaxing. It's going to be like retreat style.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be so fun. As always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Lizette Stye,
Adi Benitez,
Fiona W.,
and Sophia Phillips.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen.
And Andrea Doucette. Thank you so much for supporting us. We could not continue to make the show without you.
Remember, you can find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also have videos going up on our YouTube channel. You can subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch those.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us, with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Krista Murison, and Twitter shenanigans and various other odd jobs by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support the podcast, the first thing you can do is leave us a rating and a review on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. It helps new people find the show.
If you want to support us and continue to pay our independent team, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon. Any level is a huge help. And any level also gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, so you have lots of new content to listen to.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can find all of our designs on all sorts of different items up in our TeePublic store. You can find that at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at @dollarbeanprod.
You can also visit our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.